Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're enjoying the day with family and enjoyment with food and fellowship. I'd like you to join me in this day of worship with respect to our gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, but to give thanks. There was a wealthy Texan who gave his father unique gifts every Father's Day. One year it was hang gliding lessons. The year before it was the entire record collection of Slim Whitman, autographed by the singer himself. But this past year he had outdone himself. He purchased a rare kind of South American bird called the translator. This bird could speak five languages and sing the Yellow Rose of Texas in any key while standing on one foot. The talented bird cost $10,000, but he felt it was worth every penny. This would be the Father's Day gift his father would never forget. A week after the holiday, he called his father, "Dad, how did you like the bird?" And his father responded, "It was delicious." Sometimes we can't see the value of all God has given us. Francis Schaeffer once said, "The beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart." Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 100. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. In this message, I've entitled "Thanksgiving is for Gratitude." Psalm 100, beginning with verse 1. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Those of us who know Jesus, who have been born again, who have been washed in His blood, and who have been given the gift of eternal life, have so much for which to be grateful. We have the good news of Jesus Christ and the privilege of sharing it with the rest of the world. Psalm 100 encourages us to thank the Lord for who He is and what He's done. We are told to thank Him, when to thank Him, and where to thank Him. Let's look at our text and consider a few applications that we can practice in our own lives. First of all, He is worthy of worship. Verses 1 and verse 4. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise." We are to express our gratitude to the Lord in an audible and public manner. Make a joyful shout or noise. The word "shout" means to burst. It has the imagery of someone who is so full of an emotion that they're unable to contain it anymore. In ancient Israel, the Jews could only experience the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God resided. But now, because of Jesus, He lives inside of all who will place their trust in Him for forgiveness of sins and for eternal salvation. The Christian is always in God's presence. We can't escape it. Scripture tells us that we must acknowledge with our words and our actions that God alone is the source of all true happiness and blessings in life. When we do this, we have no choice but to give thanks. It is impossible to be in right relationship with God and not have an attitude of gratitude. So first of all, He's worthy of worship. Second, He is worthy of service. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You see, service to the Lord implies three things. It implies humility. You can't serve without a humble attitude. It implies service to the Lord implies fidelity. Service implies faithfulness by its definition. Service to the Lord implies activity. You can't serve if you don't do anything. Humility, fidelity, activity. When God was giving the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, He told them they would be cursed if they did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So many people who claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior live lives without joy or gladness. They have their focus on the wrong things. Some serve out of greed for what they can get in return. But greed is like drinking salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. Others serve with a grudge, as if they're paying off a debt. And we can never do enough to repay His love for us. What He did for us, dealing with our sin problem by sending Jesus to the cross in our place, our substitute to die, to pay the penalty that we owed, all so that we might be forgiven and be granted eternal life. Still others see service as a grind. You know, having lost the joy of their salvation. Lack of passion and zeal happens only because we let it. We are not to serve the Lord out of greed, with a grudge, or as a grind. We're to serve Him with gladness. And then third, He's worthy of first place. Look at verse 3 and verse 5. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the people. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. The Lord is God. No one else deserves our service like He does. He is God. He must be first in our lives, before our career, before our family, before our children, before our spouse, before our own desires, before everything. God must be first. He made us and we are His. He owns us. When we sold ourselves to sin, He bought us back with the blood of His Son Jesus. We have no claim, no right to our own lives. They belong to Him. This is a strong rebuke to those who think that we are to give ourselves credit for blessings which we experience in life. An ancient Chinese proverb says, when you drink from the stream, remember the spring. If we drink from the stream of His goodness, we must remember that He is the fount of every blessing. Let me make three suggestions which will help you maintain an attitude of gratitude in your life. First, take note. Live with awareness. As Americans, we are so often tempted to see nothing but our own reality. We need to be reminded of the great blessings we have received. How blessed are we? Well, someone wrote that if you were to reduce the world's population to a city of 1,000 inhabitants, 46 of those people would be Americans, and the other 954 would represent the rest of the world's population. Those 46 Americans would receive half of the income of the city, and the other one half would be divided among the remaining 954 people. The 46 Americans would have a life expectancy of 75 years, while the other 954 would live less than 40 years. The Americans would have 15 times as many possessions per person as all the rest of the people. And the Americans would eat much more than their daily food requirements, while 805 of the rest of the people would never eat what we call a good balanced meal. The dogs and cats of the American people today have a better diet than most people around the world. So what are we saying? We have a great deal to be thankful for. Take note. Be aware. Open your eyes to the world around you. It will shock you, excuse me, but it will also cause you to be grateful. And take inventory of the blessings in your life. Think about the old hymn, Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Have you stopped to count your blessings lately? See, many of us tend to focus on what's wrong, which gives us a distorted picture of life. If we focus on the wrong things, we will never see the good things. And then, take action. Do something for someone. God has given you a lot. However, He didn't give it to you just for your own benefit. It was placed in your care to minister to others also in His name. Some have been greatly blessed. Show your gratitude by how you serve Him with what He's given you. Think of someone. Think of something. You have a great Thanksgiving, and you have a great day.